Let the show begin. You guys have fun out there today.
Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content is simply the opinions of the hosts and our guests. So without delay, let me introduce our hosts, George, Tom, and Kelly.
Good evening and welcome to episode 73 of New Shooter Canada. Tonight we have a guest host on with us tonight, Mario Calcagni. Right, Mario?
Right.
Hello.
Perfect.
Hey,
awesome. And then we got Thomas Donnelly.
Hello.
Hi, Thomas. And I'm your other host, Kelly Lynn. George is not with us tonight. He had a long night driving his big boy truck. So we thought we were going to have Mario on anyways to discuss some things. So we thought we'd have him on as a guest host. So welcome, Mario.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. It's great to chat with you.
It's always fun to catch up with you guys.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So let's catch up and talk about what we did with guns. So you've had a lot of things going on. So why don't you tell us all about it?
Quite a lot. I shot the Montreal Indoor Challenge, I guess now it's perhaps 2 weeks ago. So that was my second, it was a level 3 IPSC shoot, so I'm officially now got my black badge, so...
Congratulations.
Yippee, yeah, I'm really excited. So I managed to make it through my first two without any DQs, and like everybody says, the first thing is just don't worry about the time, don't worry about accuracy, just get through with no DQs, finger out of the trigger when you're moving, and just, you know, don't rush, don't run, and it works well, and it's a really good plan. If you're shooting IPSC and you're in your first two matches, your first two probationaries, it's really a great way to go, and it's fun.
You have to shoot two matches?
You got to shoot two probationary. Your first two matches are probationary.
Okay.
You can't get a DQ because it just extends it, and it becomes, so you really got to be able to shoot them cleanly. And the trick is, for them, above all, it's no sweeping. You don't sweep the crowds with the gun. You keep it muzzled down range, and anytime you're not pointing at a target, the finger is out of the trigger on the frame. So they're adamant about that, and you really got to keep your eyes. And it's such an easy habit to do, and everybody does, and it's so easy to do. It's a real challenge not to.
Well, taking on a level 3 to do your probationary, that's no easy challenge.
As my second experience, it was quite a challenge, but it was
good. Sure, it would be.
It was 12 stages, spinning barrels. You got to shoot through pop-up targets, poppers. It was really fun. You know, you'll never shoot the same way again when you get into IPSC IDPA?
IDPA, yeah.
Yeah, which is, I'm a member at Eastern Ontario, which I'm going to be doing. Because now with the black badge, they recognize, IDPA now recognizes your IPSC. So you don't need to go anything, you just go and shoot. You just read the rules, follow the rules, and good, which is very cool.
So you haven't listened to last week's episode at all, have you?
No, unfortunately not.
I called out Thomas a little bit because he was talking about going and doing some IDPA, and I said, well, you know what you should really do? You should go and do the one that's being sponsored by SFRC. That's on May 15th, 16th, and 17th. And he goes, no. And I said, yes, you should go. So you're going to be there. So he should really go, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Is that part? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, sorry.
So how many shooters were at this match you were at, Mario?
The level 3 was over 5 days. There was, don't recall the list, is 100, somewhere around 100.
And what class, what division were you shooting in?
I'm shooting production. I shoot my Beretta 92. I'm shooting production.
Do you know how many guys were in production?
I don't have the list with me. I had it online. Production's a pretty large number.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'd probably say 30-40% are probably production.
And can you figure out where in the pack did you finish in production? Because that's a big group. It really is.
I was probably, if I recall properly, overall I was probably 60, 70, 80-ish maybe out of... I was in the bottom third, let's call it. But I really didn't focus on time or accuracy, although my shots were well placed, it was more the movement. It's like, you know, you take your time, I walk to the next target, I don't run. It's like I literally didn't care about the time. So I'm really probably the bottom 10th, but that's fine.
Yeah, finish, that's the important thing.
I finished, I didn't DQ, and I got through the whole shoot, which was exactly what I wanted.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I gave you a shout out, by the way.
Oh.
I did.
So this weekend I was also, there was another black badge. Of course, our buddy Rickster did his black badge this weekend.
Oh, really?
And and I was there yesterday.
I didn't know that.
So he had, he just did his course. He had his mini match. So now he's got his yellow card. He's got to do his first two matches, which we got a club one coming up in Montreal at our club in Montreal coming up the end of it's. They do one at the end of every month, a level two. So we got one coming up at the end of February. Yeah. There's
good
always
for you.
One.
That's a
so
good club.
He's it is. They do a lot. And between that and Eastern Ontario for me, ESOC, USC, man, they're doing a lot this year. I just my calendar is completely full. There is no weekend I think of that I'm not shooting. I'm either playing music or I'm shooting, which is great. So
yeah, and they're not too far from you, Eastern Ontario. They're in Rockland,
no,
aren't they?
It's for my and I'm in the west end of the island of Montreal. So for me, it's an hour and 15 minutes. It's really easy. It's an easy drive, and it's a great day. Great club. Love the people out there. Good place. Nice facility. Really worth it.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Didn't they recently change the rule about moving downrange on IPSC in Quebec?
Because
I know that you couldn't, when engaging steel, you couldn't go move forward, I think.
Correct. You cannot. Still cannot. That has not changed.
Okay.
You have the firing line. You cannot advance past the firing line. There are certain situations in certain, actually in shooting, no, that's true. It is, we don't go. I was thinking because there were some stages where we entered into part of the range, but it doesn't go past the firing line. So you cannot go past the firing line still.
Okay, I remember reading something that they were considering that. Another Quebec law.
So you were telling me about taking some new shooter. Your wife, wasn't it?
Well, funny enough, I've been back into shooting now for perhaps a year and a half, maybe a little more now. And I got into it with the bag. I got back into it with quite the vengeance. So I've been hoarding a lot of stuff, loading, shooting, doing all sorts of stuff, and I'm loving it. So my wife is very tolerant. She, lets me spend and lets me do what I want to do, and I enjoy it. And she was never really into it, never expressed a deep interest, so I never really pushed her on it. And that's fine because I didn't want her feeling uncomfortable or wanting her to do anything she didn't want to do or didn't shoot or didn't like it. So I said, that's fine. Recently we went out to dinner with a couple of friends of ours, and I, as always, my subject comes up is shooting, and, for me, I bring it up with everyone I can.
Yeah,
I like
that's
to talk
the
about
way.
And I like to be very positive, and I introduce people, and everyone I've introduced, I've gotten a lot of people into it that have gotten their licenses and their pals, and so it's good. So this couple expressed a real big interest. They said, well, we got to go sometime. And then my wife, Sue, pops up. She goes, we'll go. So we went out last week. And as my typical process for introducing people to the shooting sport is I'll start off with the small calibers. I'll start off with 22s. I start in the pistols. I'll pull out my M&P 22, do some pistol shooting, then I'll move to the 9s. From that, I have the 357s, 45 auto, 45 Colt. Now, as I get to the bigger calibers, and our friends Marcus and Greta, she was really happy with the 22. She felt a little threatened by the bigger stuff. She shot 9 very well. Mm-hmm. When she got into the bigger stuff, as I get into the bigger calibers, I'll typically load one round and let them shoot one round to see how they feel.
Right.
So they don't have a full loaded mag and it's not a threat, and they shoot one and it's safe. So that's kind of the way I go. And they say, I love it. I want to shoot more. Then I'll load a full mag and let's go with it. Proper grip. I look at, and I stay right behind them. I tell them, I talk them through the process. And I really do what I can to make it a really positive experience for introducing somebody. And for now, it's always worked well. I brought my grandsons, his girlfriend, and all sorts of people, and they all really love it. And for me, it's been a really good program that I've sort of introduced people with. So both Greta and Marcus now told me, I spoke to them Saturday night, they both signed up for their pals. So
really? Awesome.
Very cool.
Excellent.
So I was really happy. She loves the 22. She loves it. And she shot my Ruger, the one I'm bringing to our Michigan shoot.
Oh, yeah?
It's almost got no recoil, So for her, it's like, love this. It's really nice. I went, well, that's what it is. If that's what you like, get your license and get one and just shoot and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
So people signed up. In the process of the evening, Greta stopped at the 9mm. My wife, Susan, she got into, she shot the 357. I have a couple. I have a Dan Wesson Model 715. I've got a Smith & Wesson Model 60 small J-frame.
Yep.
And she shot both of those, and then we get to the 45. She shot my 1911, and she shot the 45, the single action Army, George's specialty.
Yeah.
And you know, and I thought that those were going to intimidate her, but you know, I told her, I said, this is a good grip. I showed her the right grip. She had no flinch. She had no flip on the gun. I couldn't believe
how
she was popping middles. She was right on target. I couldn't believe how good she was shooting.
Excellent.
It really it scared me because she's kind of better than me now. So and
it's
it's
a good
funny
thing.
It's a good thing. And on the way home, she kind of goes, you know what? I really like that 1911. I went, oh man.
Oh my goodness.
So now I got now
no.
I've now created a monster. So it's good. It's good. No, but it's fun. So now, you know, because Thursday night is ladies' night at the club, so I'll take her another few nights and see if she really continues to like it,
yep.
And I'll pay for a course and get her her pal, and she can get into it.
That's
but
awesome.
She enjoyed it. So, yeah, so all in all, it was a really good week. I got a couple of people signed up. My wife is interested, and another friend is two more people. I think in the last 6 months, I've got six people. I've got five or six that have got their licenses through me. So.
Wow.
I do what I can, one person at a time, to introduce them to the sport and show them that, you know, it is a safe sport. You can have as much as you want. You can do what you want. It's great.
Right.
As long as you're intelligent, you do it right, and there's a right way and wrong way, and what you do is have fun with it.
Right. Absolutely.
It shouldn't be afraid. It's all about education, and really, that's a big point for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just share the passion.
Oh, that's great. Because you're doing it in the Montreal area.
Which, exactly.
Yeah. Which we've seen has had some pushback in regards to gun legislation, right?
Yeah, and that's certainly coming up, too. We don't know where that's going yet. So
yeah, I was just going to ask you if you knew anything.
Nothing. Yeah, we've heard nothing. It's been kind of mute for, well, since it was announced.
December?
Kind of in the air. There's obviously that big, there seems to be a lot of pushback. I'd like to think it's not going to go that way, but there's a big petition going around that everyone signed. I've signed it.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's
I've signed
signing.
It
so we'll see.
I hope not.
I mean, as in, you know, again, you know, where do you go with that? It's like it's akin to, okay, you have a car with a license plate, you have a VIN number stamped on the car, you have a paper registration for the car, but I've got to engrave my social insurance number and name on the door of my car.
Yeah,
it's as ridiculous as that, and it's like, come on, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, I hope, like, yeah, there's the petition. Did you know how many signatures ended up on that petition or not?
Last count was almost 21K.
Oh, was it?
We're talking about the one for the Quebec Gun Registry.
Oh, that one I haven't seen for a while.
Yeah.
I thought like 15,000 or something, or 13 or 15 or something was in that ballpark.
Yeah, it was pretty good for Quebec.
It was like, a pretty good size number, yeah.
Yeah. And the one that's going around, we're going to post it, we're going to talk about it a little bit. The one that Thomas was talking about was the one for the AR-15 reclassification.
Yeah,
I've
signed that one also.
Yeah, it's almost at 21,000. We'll post it on our website as well. I think it's in our show notes someplace too. So yeah,
it
that's
is,
awesome.
It's at the bottom, I think.
So can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
So what are your goals for this year?
Besides getting your wife that 1911.
Yeah, that's all he needs is another excuse to buy another pistol. But it's good, it's for her, so it'll be good.
Yeah.
I really want to, I'm focusing on, you know, between, there's a lot of CQB matches, but my focus really this summer is really due to the IDPAs and the IPSCs between EOSC and Montreal. Since I have memberships at both of those,
yeah,
I paid for the memberships, I might as well use them and really get as much in as I can. And then whatever I'm not shooting at those two, then I'll look for other little things. I'm thinking of doing Halifax.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about it. I'll see where it sort of fits into my schedule. I would love to go to Halifax. I hear it's a really fun shoot.
Yeah.
SummerSlam, I think, is full already.
SummerSlam is full. Now,
yeah.
You know, if
I know Halifax opens at the end of this month.
Right.
So I'm sort of waiting for that to open up.
Yeah, I know that SummerSlam was a stopover. Sorry, to Halifax?
Yeah.
No.
Do you shoot IPSC?
No.
Oh.
No.
It's so much fun.
I know.
Oh.
I really enjoy
it. She almost signed up for a course. Almost.
Oh, you really have to. You know, it's so interactive, and it's mm-hmm. so much fun. You'll never shoot the same way again.
Well, I had fun when we did the last charity shoot in New Brunswick.
Yeah.
You know, Trevor goes out of his way to design some really cool IPSC matches. Yeah. So we did a mini match, and we did 5 or 6 stages. Anyways,
and you got the bug.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun and everything. And then I said, well, you know what? I really should. Ontario is let me just say this. Ontario is horrible for IPSC. They sell out really quickly, and to actually get your black badge, it takes months and months. Anyways.
Years and years.
Yeah. Anyway, so I inadvertently, I guess.
Inadvertently?
Yeah. Said, you know what? If Trevor puts on an IPSC match, you know, a black badge course, I'd go down. So literally a month later, there was one up and running, and he says, Kelly, come on. And I went, I can't. And then I really couldn't. I couldn't afford to take the time off work or the financial. Anyways.
Yeah.
So I ended up bailing. And that's my cross to bear. I bailed.
Well, you know what though is that both John and Tracy, when they applied for their membership to IPSC Ontario, they wouldn't accept the New Brunswick qualification, and they returned their check.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Because I heard that you could go across, you could take it anywhere in Canada and be accepted across Canada.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, Mario. So when you're coming to the charity shoot this summer.
Yeah.
So your IPSC, your black badge from Quebec will work.
It's good. Fine. Well, that's because IPSC is IPSC. It's an international organization. I should be able to shoot. Yeah. I can go anywhere in the world and shoot.
Well, actually, Canada is the only country that requires certification. You do know that, a black badge.
No, really.
Yeah, no other country.
But Canada is the one that originated it too. So, anyways.
Is that part of like sort of
we
the
have higher standards.
Rifles?
I don't think we initiated IPSC. I thought that came from the States.
No, we did.
No, I don't think we did.
Oh. Well, let me research that. I'll get back to you.
I don't think we did. I think it was Jeff Cooper and some of the old boys that started. Okay. But we'll see. Or was it Wilson? But I don't think it was Canadian.
All right.
We're just special. We have special rules that you have to follow.
We're so special.
Thomas, you're special.
So what'd you do with guns this week, Kelly?
Not much. This week was it was a dry week almost, literally, because I did some dry firing, and that's about it with that. SFRC, I did go there. They're carrying the new Daria line, right? You knew that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so they immediately sold out of it before they actually got the stuff in, too. So... So I was asking Ryan and Marcy if they had any in stock. They said no, because I was wanting to have a look at it. So, anyways, they gave us some stuff for the charity shoot. They gave us some IDPA mini targets. So, I've got about 10 stacks of those sitting in my garage. Excellent. And we remember Chris, the guy I was talking to you about, Thomas from Alberta, that we met up with last weekend.
Okay.
So we were supposed to meet up with him again this weekend, him and his girlfriend, and we were going to go out on Sunday out to Brockville. But, okay, so minus 30 degrees.
It was too cold.
Yeah, I'm not liking this winter.
It's like, the poor dog hasn't gone for his walks because it's been so cold. I take him out for 10 minutes, throw the ball, and then rush him back in the house. So.
Yeah, so we decided we weren't going to go. So we didn't end up going shooting. Kevin didn't really mind anyways because he went on a Thursday night with a couple of guys from the base. He went and took them.
Well, hang on. You do have an indoor range, though.
We do have an indoor range. Okay, so we were supposed to go to Brockville because Chris wanted to bring his girlfriend. And because of the fact that both Kevin and I are members at Brockville, we could all essentially go. But because of the fact that Frontenac, you can only have... up to 2 guests, et cetera, et cetera. Anyways, so we couldn't actually get to Frontenac because we had more than Kevin.
You're not a full member there, right?
I'm not a full member there. So anyways, so that meant that...
Oh, wow.
Anyways, so long story short, it would have meant that we would have to go to Brockville, and with Brockville, the Pistol House, we could have shot in the Pistol House, but there would have been everybody and their dog there anyways, so we decided not to go. I did end up going down to the Army Surplus Store down in Kingston. We wanted to actually have a look at some airsoft guns, so I went and had a look at that, and I got chatting with the guy that was there, and he was talking to me about SHOT Show, and then he was talking about the fact that he's getting in the 5.11 tactical pants for women.
Oh, really?
The yoga pants, and I'm going, awesome.
Did he have a lot of airsoft there?
They had very little airsoft. They had, so we had took a brochure and all that. I'm going to look at that, but yeah, it was kind of like it was not a very good week for shooting.
Funny you mentioned the pants, actually. I just, funny enough, because I was looking for, I'm a stout size guy, and I have trouble finding stuff that fits. So
yeah.
I was actually online at Lee Valley, and they have a couple of let's call them semi-tactical pants, with that they're actually work pants, but they really work well as tactical, yeah, because they have padded inserts that you can put in. Oh yeah, they're really wonderful.
Oh cool.
Oh yeah.
I could leave Check Valley right like 2 minutes from my house. I should go there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they have a whole variety of sizes and a couple of colors, but they're a little limited on their coloring. But it's either black or a kind of a gray with the knee pads. But if you look up the pants, they're like some sort of work pants, and you'll see them. I can't remember what they're called, but
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So excuse me. I ordered a pair, and we'll see how they turn out.
Maybe I'll go there.
They could be good.
I was also looking, like, he had some, the Army Surplus Store here is actually really good, but their prices are a little pricey. Anyways, I was looking at some of their 5.11 stuff in there. The 5.11, they have hardly anything of that. And then Kevin and I were talking about it. Again, Kevin. Anyways, Kevin and I were talking about it. He goes, just order the stuff and have it sent to Stacy's house. So I was looking at the stuff online, and it's actually cheaper in Canada. So
good.
I might go and pick up a couple of pairs there. But I'll also check out Lee Valley, too. Anyways.
I recommend Lee Valley for sure.
Cool.
Quick note, I just looked it up for you. IPSC was founded May 1976.
I love
May
it.
1976 at a conference held in Columbus, Missouri. Columbia.
There you go. It's not Canadian. It's American.
Where Jeff Cooper was served as the first IPSC president. So there you go.
See, I knew it.
Hey,
I
guess
knew
what?
It.
Thomas, you were right.
Justification.
I have my moments, you know. I do have my moments. Excuse my voice. I'm dying tonight.
That's all right.
I know. So, Thomas, what did you do in guns besides get sick?
It was a very cold, cold weekend, so I didn't do anything. I took, tell you last week, I had the barrel soaking in my AR for about 8 hours. I cleaned it, gave it a good scrubbing. I looked through it, and it was still dirty. So I poured some more down, let it soak for another 8 hours, and now my AR is nice and clean.
It's nice and clean.
And I have a Walther P22, and it has a polymer scope mount. I figured it might fit my Grand Power Excalibur. Mm-hmm. So I took it off the Excalibur, the Crossman that's on now, and I went to put it in the Excalibur, but it's hitting the front sight. So I have to take the front sight off, and I'm not going to do that. So but that's it. I just cleaned a few guns, dry fired a bit.
And you felt horrible.
And I feel horrible. I've been speaking to a lot of the sponsors.
Yeah, you have been. Which is great.
People are asking me what they want us to donate, and I'm really leaving it open, you know, up to them. I'm not going to ask anything for, in particular, you know, holsters, magazines, stuff like that would be nice.
Grenade launchers,
more guns. we want more guns. Actually, Chris messaged me from NAS Guns, and that's what I said magazines and holsters and stuff like this. And I messaged him back, said, oh yeah, and I forgot guns. We like guns too, so we'll see if we get something from him.
Okay. So, yeah, we've been working pretty hard on the charity shoot. I know that we've gotten some logos and artwork up and different things like that. And
yeah, that logo's great.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's cool.
Really worked out well. Yeah, it's very, very cool.
It needs to be updated, though.
The logo's fine. It's the other, because we keep adding new sponsors and all that, so... Or groups, and yeah, we forgot one Canadian podcast on our thing, so oopsie doodle. We'll get that fixed. We're not naming who that we forgot, though, right?
Oh, I'm not saying a word.
Alright, so do you guys want to go on? We'll talk about guns in the news, because there was some guns in the news, mm-hmm. right?
Yep. A few.
Okay, I'm going to cover story one and that. So on this was actually out on Friday. It's about the Liberals handing off what are we calling it? Classification, I guess, to the RCMP.
Yeah. Control of classifications of firearms.
Control of class. Yeah.
They haven't done it yet, but it's going to happen.
So this is the chitter chatter. Do you like that chitter chatter?
Chitter chatter.
Okay. So message. So yeah, I keep seeing Thomas. I'm gonna black you out there, Thomas. You're distracting me. Okay. So message boards on gun enthusiast websites have been awash in recent weeks with speculation. Okay, so what we're going to be doing is we're going to be doing story number one, and it's so there were some things in the news recently. I think it was on Friday when it came out in the news about the RCMP or the Liberals giving the RCMP the ability to look at the classifications of guns. So let's just read that. The message boards on gun enthusiast websites have been awash in recent weeks with speculation about what types of gun laws the Liberals would introduce. Mounties once again have final authority over the classification of firearms, the Liberal government says. Reversing legislation changes made by the Conservatives allowing Cabinet to override the RCMP decision. Excuse me. Police are the expert in these matters. Scott Bardsley? Bardsley?
Bardsley?
Bardsley. Yeah. Bardsley. Well, Scott, anyways.
Scott.
A spokesman for Public Safety Minister Ralph Goodall said in an email Friday.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Police are the expert. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
they do. They do own guns. Anyways, all right. We know of no other Western democracy, he added, in which a cabinet or government department has the authority to override firearms classification rules set out in legislation. Bairdsley said details would be announced in due course. So we should be hearing soon about all this, I'm assuming. A spokesman for the Canadian Shooting Sports Association said Friday, it is immoral for a technician working in the RCMP lab should be allowed to have the final say on gun restrictions. How can a bureaucrat wave a pen and criminalize hundreds of thousands of people, said Tony Bernardo. Mm. Mm. The association's executive director, so CSSA, right? We all know that Tony is the associate executive director. We elect parliamentarians to make our laws. We would not tolerate police making law in any other segment of society. True.
Yep.
A controversy erupted in early 2014 when the RCMP changed the status of the Swiss Arms rifle and the Checkmate CZ-858 rifles from restricted to non-restricted. Sorry, from restricted or non-restricted to prohibited. RCMP technicians judged the guns, which had been legal in Canada for years, could too easily be converted from semi-automatic to automatic weapons, which they did. And that recently has been changed, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, Bairdsley also said the government does not plan to reintroduce the federal long gun registry. Hurrah! Everybody insert a hurrah there. So,
it's only going to cost $2 million to run it.
Yeah, shush. Work, however, is underway to modify the membership of the Minister's Firearms Authority Committee. During the election, the Liberals promised to add public health advocates, representative from women group, and lawyers to the committee so it wasn't stacked with gun industry representatives. Bernardo, who had a seat on the committee, said he worries no non-firearms experts would outnumber members of the firearm community.
Seems to be going to be stacked that way for sure, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. But I also think, you know what, just like, it'd be an opportunity to educate as well.
Well, this is, it's exactly why I take as many people, it mm-hmm. goes back to my original story at the top, is why I take people out to educate and show them what it's all about, and don't believe what you're reading, and it's not exactly as they say it is. It's a much safer place. And when things happen, like we'll see following up in story number two, there's very specific reasons, you know, and those are the issues that have to be addressed.
Right, exactly. Let's see where we are with us. I think we're almost done with the article. We wouldn't take a committee meant to examine surgical procedures and put plumbers on the committee. Well, he's right about that as well. The RCMP said that it had no comment, but one person on a forum warned fellow gun enthusiasts about sending mixed messages. Be careful, boys, he wrote. We are applauding and allowing the RCMP to reclassify firearms, which we all believe and argue was not their job. It's great when it's in our favor, but what will our argument be when they start prohibiting restricted firearms you have now? We can't have it both ways. So, you know what? We saw the Swiss Arms and the CZ. They were both reclassified. And also last week we talked about the 81 as well, right? It being classified as non-restricted as well.
Yeah, non-restricted variants are available.
Right, so everybody was very enthusiastic about that, and everybody's going to, again, a big hurrah and that. So, yeah. So
I know, is the RCMP admitting that it made mistakes? Because the AR or the Daria is nothing, absolutely nothing like an AR variant. That was the claim all these years, that it's not an AR variant now. Well, then you've got stupid little things like that Mossberg Blaze, it's just a plastic shell. That's prohibited because it's an AR variant. There's nothing on it that's AR-ish. It might open a floodgate. There's a lot of 22s that are restricted because they look AR-ish, but there's nothing in common.
Or even the stuff that looks like AKs. I mean,
yeah, if it looks like it, it's prohibited.
Yeah.
When there's no mechanical... That's a problem with the... there's no actual mechanical description of any of the firearms. It's just it's either it looks scary or it doesn't look scary, which is ridiculous.
Well, what we're seeing right now is a lot of people speculating, right? And I think you are right. When we were talking about the reclassification or declassification, in regards to the ARs, it's going to be opening up a flood market, and that with that, we're not the only ones to say that either, though.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think Thomas muted himself because I can see him.
I'm grateful that we have the AR now, but it's such a versatile tool. It would be great for hunting. There's no reason why that should be restricted.
Well, it's big and scary.
Hey, you know what? It shoots. Between my AR or my Savage Access XP and 223. I'm shooting exactly the same thing.
Yeah, you are.
Exactly the same thing. It's just one looks a little scarier than the other, but they can both take down, well, almost take down a deer, perhaps, but, you know.
Yeah, it's a medium-range cartridge. With a proper bullet, you could take down a deer. But it's a little
heavier than a 55 grain, maybe, but, yeah.
Yeah.
You'd have to good shot placement for that, I would have to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, we also had another story that happened. It happened yesterday. Today is the 15th. Yesterday was the 14th, and this happened in Lac-Simon, Quebec, as well.
Yeah.
Right. So we're going to save Thomas's voice, and Mario graciously said that he would actually read this out so we could talk about it. So
yeah, as I was reading through, I can see there's some French in there. So
yeah,
that would have destroyed me.
No problem. I can understand the slang. Well, basically, Lac-Simon, if you know Quebec at all, you have Mont Tremblant. You have Montreal, if you go north, you have Tremblant, then you have Val-d'Or.
Yep.
Well, Lac-Simon is up in that Val-d'Or area. It's about 6 hours north of Montreal. So the story is that the police, there was an, the Quebec Provincial Police have identified the police officer who was fatally shot in the line of duty in Lac-Simon on Saturday night as 26-year-old Thierry Leroux. Within minutes of the shooting, a police officer to death, Joseph Raymond Papetti, took to Facebook where he confessed and apologized. And what he said, and I'll read it in French for you and then I'll give you a translation. It's, "Désolé tout le monde, m'en vaut. Astar, j'ai tué un police." In other words, what it means is, "Sorry, everyone, I gotta go. I've killed a cop." And then he shot himself to death. So that's a really unfortunate incident. The sordid murder-suicide drama unfolded late Saturday night in the First Nations community of Lac Simon, located, as I said, about 500 kilometers northwest of Montreal in the Abitibi region. At 10:30 p.m., police responded to a routine domestic disturbance call on the Algonquin Reserve as two officers from the Anishinaabe... This is a
Tenerutuabi.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Police service walked towards the house. One of them was shot. Thierry Leroux, 26, died instantly. He had only been on the job for 6 months, and that's real. That's just, man, that's that really sucks. The second officer was treated for shock. Investigators are not saying if there was another person in the house or who called the police. The case underscores the troubling reality that exists in many remote communities. A toxic blend of drug and alcohol abuse and violence, and rookie police officers who are overwhelmed trying to deal with it, which is really true. The Facebook post by Mr. Papetsi, whose name... who used the name Anthony Raymond Michel online, suggests that he had a serious drinking problem and a passion for firearms, which is not a very good mix, that's for sure.
No. Yeah. Unfortunately, these are this is a lot of what's what happens. Last week we talked about the fact that the RCMP were taking courses and being more heavily armed and that, and this is also what we see as well. A lot of the police that are responding to domestic violence are being shot at. It looks like, from what I could see from the reports, was that they didn't even get a chance to even defend themselves or anything. So
he got shot as he walked towards the house. So,
which brings another point to my mind is that, you know, which sort of links somewhat to this registry here in Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the claim is that, well, it'll let them know who has firearms and who doesn't. Well, okay, but if... Now, I don't know the details. I don't know what the guy used to shoot him with. I presume it could be a long gun, but it doesn't really matter.
No.
The fact that when you're approaching a house, particularly if you know it's a domestic disturbance, as a police officer, and I've never been one, and I don't have that training, and I don't know, but... as a shooter, or as a firearms shooter, and I go out and I shoot sport and stuff, I would have to presume that anywhere I go, I presume someone's going to have something behind a door, and I would act accordingly. I just, but again, this is a rookie. Is it? You know.
Yeah, 26, man.
It is.
Unfortunately, with domestic disputes, they're one of the most violent.
Yeah, the most unpredictable.
For police.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're getting into. I saw some talk on some of the website or the sites and all that as well about the fact that it was on a reserve and that, and they're not. Anyways, yeah, if you have firearms on the reserve, if you're First Nations, you don't have to register your firearms. It's just a
really?
Sad thing all around. No, you don't. But that being said, again, it's sad. A sad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. 26 years old, 6 months on the job. Wow.
Just, you know, just got out of school, just got the job he really wanted to do, and he's accepted into the RCMP. It's really unfortunate, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thomas?
Yes.
Do you want to tell us about the fact that we're lacking 22 ammo? Take us out of this.
I'm telling you, I don't know who's getting your ammo supply, but I can't. Some of the ammo I like to shoot, I can't find up here.
Yeah.
It's in pockets. Like you can get lots of the Winchester and the Remington stuff, but none of the Federal Gold Match, none of the Allied stuff or Ely, the RWS. Because the closest ammo shop to me would be Sale or Farms Outlet. So while the question has become less common, it's never really gone away. It comes in pockets still. But
do you ever buy in person, or do you always buy in person, or do you order online as well?
Well, I buy in person.
Because I've ordered a lot online, and that's where I find most of my stuff. And at least certain things for 22. It's like I was telling you before the show, it's my original bat. I'm shooting the SK stuff now in my 22, and it's wonderful.
I'm just used to walking up to my local store and being able to get it. I don't like having to mail order it.
I don't know. I'm going to my store, and it's, yeah, we have a ton of it on the shelf.
Well, the demand has increased drastically, and it really has. Like, people, once things happened in the States, people that weren't even owning firearms were buying ammunition, and even up here, people that had ammunition were stockpiling it. You look at some of Filthy's postings, he's got pails and pails of that Remington
crap.
Yeah,
but that stuff doesn't work.
Yeah, it's useless. But yeah. Then he can't hit his target anyway, so...
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Just to give you an example, I mean, I'm just on right now online with your favorite store up north in right near Barrie at Cabela's. They've got a Federal Match 22 gold medal online. You can pick it up right now.
How much?
$17.99.
For a box of 50?
A box of 50, correct.
$17? Yeah. Oh, my
Don't
God.
Choke. Don't choke.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Well, that's the big problem right now. The American dollar is killing us. Like, we are seeing a different price. I'm getting a brick of Aguila, right? 500 for $50. $45. Well, okay, let's say $40. That's what I'm actually getting it for.
Yeah, that's still expensive.
$40. But when you're talking about per package at your local Canadian Tire right now, it's $8 a pack. I'm getting it for $4.
That's not bad.
Wow, that's good.
It is. It's pretty good. So I'm okay with that.
Well, the only problem is that they're not making any, they're not expanding any of the Rimfire products. Because Rimfire is a lot harder to make than centerfire. Because Rimfire ammunition requires a priming area, and that's something that has not, and there's nothing has been newly fabricated in 40 years in the States. So the big American manufacturers have updated their stuff, but there's been no brand new, new priming areas made. Winchester did move its plant from Illinois to Mississippi, and it's the priming operation of the manufacturing process that takes the large amount of production time. And then there's the safety safeguards, because that stuff's explosive.
Yeah.
You know, and you can get a lot of companies actually buying pre-primed brass from other people, because if you're manufacturing this priming compound, which is highly explosive, not to mention trying to obtain financing and insurance for the creation of a new rimfire plant would be astronomical. So there is no real new production of 22s these days. But a lot of time you see stuff like, there's a lot of co-branding. You know, it's like if you get the Remington Target, it actually says LA on it, or your Aguila. They had a big fire down in Mexico last year. So they've outsourced a lot of their ammunition. Mm-hmm. So there's no new production, so companies are co-branding each other. And one thing I want to put up, Winchester is partnering up with Browning. We have a whole series of Browning ammunition now, and it's all just repackaged, remanufactured Winchester stuff.
Really?
So you're going to be, paying a couple extra bucks for the nice packaging of the two deer logo and the nice yellow bright colors, but it's still the same ammunition. There's nothing really new to it. So it's nice to see the ammunition coming out, but it's nothing new. It's no new production at all.
No. So this Browning ammunition is releasing three new products in 2016?
They're bringing out the Rimfires, they're bringing out the Incentifiers, and they're bringing out the 20s. But they said they're all Winchester productions. So.
Right.
You'll probably pay a couple bucks more for the Browning stuff, so it might be a year before we even get it up here.
I can give you another example. I as I said, I buy a lot of my 22. I buy online. I buy from Nordic Marksman, and because I like shooting SK, because it's lightly lubed, right? It's lightly lubed, and it really feeds well. It's great. I've never had a problem. And this is SK. This is kind of Lapua brand, right? And it's really good. Even the standard plus for a brick of 500 is $64.50, which is $6.45 for a box of 50. The match. And this is stuff that they're shooting in biathlons, like Olympic stuff. Some of it. I mean, this is probably training stuff. The SK rifle match is $79.50, so that's $7.95. But if you get into the Pistol King and the real Olympic stuff, you're talking about $250 for a brick of 50. So wow. that's Olympic.
Dear.
But you know, simple. But this stuff, even the standard plus, just shoots really nice.
Yeah.
And it's a standard speed, so it's a really nice velocity. It shoots really well. It's about maybe about 900 or 1,000. I don't know what the exact velocity is. I don't know if it mentions it here. Yeah. It's a really great velocity. It shoots so well out of the Ruger.
I like that RWS that Kevin had, but I haven't seen that out in my area for a couple of years now. I was really surprised to see he had some of that German ammunition.
Yeah, we found it here at both Canadian Tire and SFRC has some as well. Mm. Bought some there too. So
your Canadian Tires carry it?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to take a walk over mine. I go through Canadian Tire every week. I didn't see any of that stuff.
You gotta go and shop at the good Canadian Tires, man.
I'm just glad my Canadian Tire is actually selling pistol ammo and guns now. That I'm happy about.
Are they locking up their logbooks?
Everything's locked up, and there's only a couple old guys on staff. So if you ask one of the young pimply faced kids, he says, "Oh no, hang on, I got to get somebody to help you." And he's got to run over and get somebody.
Well, actually, it's true. They hire a lot of kids, and they don't have their licenses. So,
because you need your license to sell it.
Exactly.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, just hold on a second. Well, I don't. Go and get somebody that has their license that can help you.
I don't know if you need a license to sell the ammunition.
No, you do.
No, you do. I think yeah.
No, but for the guns, yes.
But even for ammo.
No, the store will have an ammunition license to sell ammunition.
And people are covered under that ammo license?
Yeah. But firearms is a different story. If you want to look at any of the guns in the cabinet, they have to go get somebody to open up the gun cabinet that has their firearms license. Yeah. But the pimply-faced kid can still sell you ammo.
I'm not sure about that. Yeah, we have to check.
Pretty sure.
Okay, do you want to do any more about the Browning ammunition that we were going to talk about?
No, I just decided to paraphrase it because my voice is killing me.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Okay, so one of the things, we're going to talk about events first, and then we're going to get into our emails. One of our emails is going to be our main topic for tonight as well. So let's just do it that way. You guys are good with that?
Yeah, your lead host, run with it.
Awesome. So we have a couple events that are going on. The first one is the Toronto Sportsman Show. It's March the 16th to the 20th. It's at the International Center in Mississauga. We're going to actually be up there. So George and Thomas and myself are going to be going this year. We don't have a booth. Somebody asked us if we had a booth. We don't have a booth, but we're going to be going. We're going to be checking out the CSSA and also the CCFR booths, saying hi to everybody up there, and they're both sponsors for the charity event. But we're going to go out and check it out and see what all is there, and we'll report back on that as well. Thomas, do you want to tell us about the Orangeville Gun Show?
Oh, it's just a small gun show up at the Orangeville Fairgrounds on March 20th, 2016, from 7:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Check for the CSSA website for your local gun shop listings or gun show listings. And I did put a link in the website this time. So there's usually something happening every weekend if you want to check out some of the local gun shows.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mario, you got your six. Can you see that?
Yes, I see it.
Okay, do you want to tell us about it?
Sure. Got Your Six is happening in Edson, Alberta, this summer, July 16, 17, at the Longest Mile Gun Range. Mr. Uzi told us about it, and it will be raising, and they are raising money to support the Wounded Warriors, which is really cool. Right. And more details can be had at the edsonfishandgame.ca website.
Didn't he post a drone picture of that range showing it's a massive, massive complex? It's huge.
Yeah, they have it on their...
I thought that's what I saw. Is that what I saw? I saw a post
about it. Yeah, that's the range they're going to have the shoot at.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. So if you go to the edsonfishandgame.ca, you can go on there to their website, and what it'll do is there is a video of, and it was taken by drone, but there's also pictures and all that as well. It's really, really cool. If you could go there, that'd be an awesome range to go and shoot at.
Yeah, it must be nice.
Yeah. And then we have our charity shoot. So the registration is now open for it. You can go onto our charity event page. If you are not part of the charity event page, then just let New Shooter Canada us know, and we'll add you to it. So we have a couple events that are happening on Friday, the 24th of June. RJ Woods from FAST, or Fire Art Solutions Training, he's going to be doing a handgun fundamental, and also depends on the level of the people that are in it. If they're a little bit more advanced, he said he's also going to do an urban pistol course.
Nice.
So it's $50. $50 covers the RJ's fee, but it also covers we have to rent the range that day.
Sure.
So it covers the range rental, and it also covers your lunch as well. You're getting lunch provided for you.
Yeah, Kelly's making lunch.
Yeah. Anyways, so it's open. It's limited. There's only 14 people. One reason is because RJ, he really he doesn't want a lot of people, because if there's too many people, he can't give you guys the
proper attention. Yeah, exactly.
Proper training in that as well. He was also talking about potentially bringing somebody else. So if there's there's 14 people, maybe having another instructor there would also help with that as well. So
I already registered for the full Monty, so I'm excited.
You did. Exciting.
I'm doing everything.
Yeah. And so on Saturday, on the 25th, which is the charity shoot day, the shoot is open to anybody. You don't need any specific skills or anything. It's $35, and if you register before May the 1st, you will get a t-shirt. You'll also get a ticket into the door prize, which right now is the Uzcon shotgun, right, Thomas?
That little little shorty 14-inch pump-action shotgun.
Right. So we also have some other things that are going to be happening, too, other prizes and that, too, but we won't announce those today.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
It's going to be so good.
What we're going to do is, I was talking about it last week, the range itself is one firing line, so we've had to be a little creative, shall we say. So we have a pistol house, we have a 25-yard, a 50-yard, a 100-yard, we have a 240, and then we have some stuff that's...
Nice! Yeah. Oh, excellent.
So we have some stuff that we have... we're hoping to have for kids or adults as well that are going to be off to the side too that you'll be able to do. We have some of the sponsors coming as well, so if you want to sign up for CCFR or CSSA or CFI and all that, you can do that at the time as well. And yeah, we're going to have lots of prizes, we're going to have lots of fun. Yeah. And then on the 26th of June, that's the Summer Fun IFSC match. It's a level 3. It's 12 stages, 200 round count. It's on the Sunday. And if you sign up by March 31st, you will be guaranteed to be on a squad. And the squad is reserved. IFSC Ontario doesn't usually do this, but... what they're doing is they're holding a squad for us. Because of the fact that it's on the same weekend and different things like that. It's in, it's on the Frontenac range. It's not on the Brockville range. It's on the Frontenac range. I've communicated with the guys from Frontenac and also IPSC Ontario, and they said, absolutely. If you guys want a squad, we'll hold a squad for you. You just have to sign up beforehand. They're going to be opening up their registration in early April, and that's why we gave the March 31st deadline. It's just so that if you want to come to the charity shoot, you can actually guarantee you're coming to the shoot, and you can also guarantee that you're doing the IPSC Ontario Summer Fun event as well. So it's going to be awesome. Thomas?
Yes?
You got your black badge, don't you?
I did, but then I never renewed my IPSC Ontario.
Oh, you didn't keep it up.
I didn't keep it up. Yeah, me and Brian did the same thing. I don't think actually Brian even took his probationary shoot. I did do four or five shoots, and I just let it lapse.
Mm. Kevin has his. I don't know if he's going to be doing it or not. He's got a lot on his plate with the charity shoot, but
I know Trevor and Matt aren't shooting it because he's coming in for business that weekend. Pat Harrison and his wife Amy are going to be out of town. They're taking their vacation that day. So the three or four people I thought for sure would be able to participate aren't available. So.
But you know what? I do know that there's some other people that have signed up for it as well. Oh, yeah. Mario, you're one of them, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. I want to ask you about the charity shoot.
Yep.
Can I bring a whole bunch of stuff and allow people to shoot it? What's the format?
That's a good question. That's awesome. So the way that it's working is the day of the shoot itself on the 25th, mm-hmm. in the morning we're going to have a round robin stages that you should shoot, right? Okay. Not you should shoot. You are going to shoot.
Right.
And that's part of the charity shoot. In the afternoon, so after lunch, we're trying to arrange to have a food truck there, and so you'll be able to actually get your lunch and all that. But in the afternoon, it's like it's just like, you know.
It's usually a free-for-all.
Well, it's not a free-for-all. It sounds so... Yeah, but what it is, you can actually show what you have, right?
Mm-hmm.
And give the... it's up to the individual. You know, if you want to show what your different guns are and all that, you don't have to let people try them out, but most people do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, people will be offering to let you use their guns.
Oh, yeah.
Come up, try this, and try that. I don't know how many different guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of my thought. I was going to bring a bunch of stuff and go set it out and go, whoever wants to try something. And see.
Yeah. And that's generally what happens, too. And it's one way for different people to if they were thinking about maybe a different handgun, or if they're thinking about, you know, purchasing an ACR or an AR-15 or whatever, they can get a chance to try something different, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, that's cool. Right.
So, that's we have some more other things going on that are in the works. I've been negotiating with some other people about some different things. So we'll have some more updates on the Facebook page about that. But if you do want to register, when you do register, just send everything over to... We have a specific account for just the charity shoot. It's newshootercanada@gmail.com. Send your registration. If you're doing the IPSC stuff, we need the registration form for that. And if you are doing the other stuff, just send that as an attachment email and that. And we do take e-transfers or PayPal, and so include your passwords into the original email as well, so when you do send the money. And that's about it for the charity event. We beat that with a dead horse.
It's going to be good, though.
Yeah.
There's just things that we want to tell you that we can't, but... It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Actually, it's just Thomas. He's like a kid at Christmas.
Oh, I know. I am.
You're the kid that unwraps everything, aren't you? And then wraps it up again.
And then goes and tells people.
Yeah.
Once I opened something.
Oh, you won't believe what you're getting. You're going to really love it.
Yeah.
It was pencils. It sucked.
Awesome. So, Thomas. We have the AR-15 petition there. You want to talk a little bit about that?
AR petition is out and doing well. I think the last count, there was over almost 21,000 people signed the petition. So if you haven't seen it, there is a link to the show notes for it. And then you got a letter from Sluggo, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Well, actually, just we as a group got a message from Sluggo.
No, this is the guy that came up from New York to do the maple seed for us, right?
No, he actually is Canadian.
Is he? Okay.
Yep. So Sluggo said he sent it to our New Shooter Canada. He put it in the comments section there. What he said was it was based on last week. Remember, everybody, last week we were talking about the incident that happened in Hamilton where there was somebody who was trying to steal a truck in Mr. Kill's driveway, and Mr. Kill came out and engaged the thief and ended up shooting the thief and killing him. So Sluggo, he commented on the story itself, and this is what he had to say. If someone is willing to steal your car, it's quite likely they would not be adverse to harming you. It should be prudent to have some means of defense when confronting such an individual. When protecting your property, as is your right, and when confronting the said thief, should they present a threat to your well-being, you should have the right to self-defense. This would not be a case of becoming the attacker, but rather being the defender. What occurred in this case described is unknown. I should be able to try and protect my property, and I should be able to defend myself in while doing so. And which is what a lot of Canadians feel, right?
Absolutely. You should be able to protect your property.
Right. So that being said, last week I was a little bit of a devil's advocate, and
just a little bit.
Thomas?
Yes, Kelly.
Play nice.
Be nice.
Okay.
And that, but in the eyes, okay. So there's been a lot of debate about this. There's been debate about it on the various gun pages, advocacy groups, and different things like that as well. And we even got some messages from people down in the States about it, and that as well. And obviously, Sluggo, he felt he needed to say something about it as well. So again, it's going back to human nature. It's in our human nature to actually want to protect ourselves and to also protect the stuff that we've worked very hard to actually earn, and that as well. I wrote up a little bit about this from the point of view of people that I interact with on a daily basis, and I thought that maybe we could discuss it as well.
Okay.
You guys up for that?
Yep.
Oh, yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I said, as of right now, in Canadian law, if you go out and engage a thief stealing your property and you're armed, you arm yourself and you shoot him, you're escalating is basically what it is, and you shoot him in the process. You are, in the eyes of the law, you are indeed actually the attacker. Unfortunately, that's the case. We don't have any property rights, and as it is right now, according to the Charter of Rights, we don't have a right to protect our property.
No, but
I thought in the Charter of Rights we do.
No, we don't.
I was reading, because when this came up a few days ago, I remember reading about this, and I went to look at it, and I thought there was amendments to the charter that were recently changed a few years ago that allowed us to have a reasonable expectation of protection of property.
Yeah, no. A reasonable expectation of protection of property. Property isn't a right for us. We can protect.
Well, I mean, it's not a right, but I mean, it's your stuff.
I know. But according to Canadian law, it's not our right to protect.
You have a right to protect your own life, but you don't have a right to protect your own personal property.
Correct.
Yeah.
Which has happened in this case in Hamilton, right?
So what happens if this guy, which he can do under Canadian statute, place the guy under arrest, and he's resisting arrest? How much force can he use to detain him? Because under Canadian law, you can legally arrest somebody and make a citizen's arrest, and it's legal binding.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The only problem is he's escalating the situation because of the fact that he's armed himself and he has actually engaged the person. Correct?
Yeah, but he's allowed to do that, though. He's allowed to put them under arrest.
It's a fine line because the police would see it as actually somebody who's escalating the situation. He could have actually protected himself by calling the police.
Yeah, but if he's a security guard, he knows the laws. You can still legally arrest somebody, and then where it's
absolutely, you can place anybody under citizen's arrest. The problem is if you arm yourself and then actually get into a scuffle with the person, and the person dies, as we were discussing before we decided to not decide before we taped this, or recorded this. In all cases, 10 out of 10 times, you would actually be arrested.
Yeah, you probably will. But I just want to throw that in. Under Canadian law, you could actually try to place a person under arrest, and then you'd have a different set of circumstances.
Under Canadian law, anybody. Joe Blow, Mario, me, Thomas, you can place anybody under arrest. Citizens arrest, you can. The problem is, if you arm yourself and you engage the person and then use that firearm to actually injure the person or kill them, then you're in a whole world of hurt. So one of the things I wanted to give you guys is a little bit of insight or statistics or based on my interactions and my experience of discussing things with people who are, let's say, legally challenged, okay? This isn't always the case, but it's generally the case. Based on some of my discussions with them, the majority of those that are doing B&Es or breaking in and stealing your stuff, these things happen to actually finance addictions, so addictions to drugs, etc. And those people that are committing the B&Es, they're looking for the least amount of risk for the most amount of gain. So what they're looking for is they're generally doing the B&Es during daytime hours when people aren't at home. They don't want the homeowner at home, and if they hear a dog or see a dog or if there's ATT signs or whatever, they're generally going to be skipping that house. The other thing that they're doing is those that are committing the B&Es, those people generally aren't armed. If they're interrupted, they're going to be actually the ones that will run. It's the fight or flight theory. Generally, they do run, but if they actually do have to fight, it's weapons that are opportunity weapons, so things that are around them and that. Some of them do have things like knives or pen knives or whatever on them, but the majority of them are, if they're going to be confronted, they'll run, and if not, they'll choose weapons that are opportunities around them. Some of the B&Es and that, they're very well planned. Those are the more of the large scale, like businesses and things like that. But there's very few that are the high scale planning and taking of hostages and different things like that as well. The weapons, what we're seeing for people with weapons, and the weapons, let's say guns, for the majority, some of them are knives. These things are carried by drug dealers, and the drug dealers are carrying these weapons for intimidation and protection, basically. Intimidating people for drug debts and protection for other drug dealers trying to basically
rip them off.
That's exactly it. Rip them off, or trying to take over their area or whatever.
Drug dealers are the new target these days.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're actually the ones. So I was going to cover it. Home invasion. So if you're hearing about a home invasion on the news and that, generally home invasions are drug dealers or other gang members or whatever. They're going in and they're looking to steal money or drugs from the person or weapons. So if you have a lot of guns and a lot of different weapons and you let it be known that you do, you might be a target for these people as well. So again, reinforcing the whole thing, don't tell people about them, right? But also the last part of that is gang members. Gang members are increasing here in Canada, especially in the urban areas like Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver used to be the hot spots, and now it's any major metropolitan area, you'll see gang members. And they're carrying weapons for intimidation and protection as well, but also for those home invasions and that as well that we were talking about. So when we're talking about people that are breaking into homes, or we're talking about people that are stealing, boosting cars, generally chances are they're not going to be armed with firearms. They might be armed with a knife or whatever, but chances are they'll try and get out of there. Now, in that particular story, they were talking about a neighbor. Remember Thomas?
Yep.
They were talking about the neighbor that caught the guy previous to that trying to break into his garage, and he ran him off with a bat.
Yeah.
Right? So, the guy has a history in that neighborhood. He has a history. So, I don't know if we don't know what's going on, but We do know that he has a history of being in the neighborhood. Maybe he armed himself. We don't know. What we're doing is speculating, but what's going to happen is when, you know, things come out in the news, we'll find out more about Mr. Kill himself and what's going on. Because he, right now, he's been charged with second-degree murder. And, yeah, he'll be... He's
not in a good place right now.
No, he's not. The other thing that we should probably talk about is that last week when we were talking about it, we mentioned that on our podcast, but not only on our podcast, but there was other podcasts in that as well that were talking about differences of laws in here, in that being Canada and the United States. And we got a couple of messages from people from down the States, right, Thomas?
We got one from Styx, we got one from Tim.
Right.
Styx said that I'm not all the way through episode, but Thomas Donnelly in the U.S., most states don't allow us to shoot someone to protect property. We go to jail just the same for shooting someone for theft. Mississippi and a few other states do allow this, but it is not the norm. The only one I was aware of was Texas. I don't think they have you can shoot somebody for trespassing in Texas.
Really?
Right.
Yeah. But they were one of the last states to actually get open carry and concealed carry laws was Texas.
Yeah,
too,
it's true.
So.
Yeah, yeah, they just got it.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are different laws. It depends on the state, and it also depends on what your ability level of confrontation and things like that as well. Tim, one of our friends down in Texas, he said that he gave us a little bit of what actually is written according to Texas law. He says, a person is justified in using deadly force against another to protect his property to the degree he reasonably believes the force is immediately necessary to prevent the other's imminent commission of arson, burglary, robbery, theft during the nighttime, which I thought was interesting, or criminal mischief during the nighttime, and he reasonably believes that the property cannot be protected by any other means. In other words, you're supposed to actually source out other means first, right?
Yeah.
Interesting that they state nighttime as well.
I know, that's what I thought.
It's like, so what are you going to do in the middle of the day?
Call the cops.
Yeah, because they don't work at night, you know?
I don't know. Anyways, and then Tim went on to actually put this in as well. It refers back to the nighttime, too. A person is justified in using deadly force against another to prevent the other who is fleeing from committing burglary, robbery, theft, or theft during the nighttime by escaping the property, and he reasonably believes the property cannot be recovered by any other means, or the use of force other than deadly force to protect or recover the property. The property would expose him or another to substantial risk of death or seriously bodily injury. Nighttime is defined as the period 30 minutes after sunset until 30 minutes before sunset, he said in quotes. So with that, it's in regards to protecting oneself with the risk of death or seriously bodily injury as well. So what we wanted to say is that the U.S. is not the Wild West. People that are in the States, the majority of them are responsible gun owners. Even in the States that have the laws where you can protect your property and use deadly force or to prevent somebody who's fleeing while committing burglary or robbery or theft during the nighttime. Even in the states where that's allowed, it's almost like an ethical dilemma for a lot of the gun owners. It's not an easy decision to make, and if you put the question before those people, a lot of them would choose not to use guns to protect their property. And one of the things that we were talking about was when it came to animals. So we were all in agreement that we would all protect our animals, but no, we're just kidding about that. The other thing that we wanted to say was that we've had Valkyrie Defense on a couple of times, and both Brian and Jason, they said as part of their instructing, they've always stressed that you do not pull out your guns unless, you know, your family is being threatened and it's imminent harm, and that they would like everybody to be trained responsibly on using their firearms, but also using them only if needed, but you shouldn't be pulling it out as, you know, as your first option. It's only there if you really, really need it.
It's a last resort.
And, yeah, and that's responsible gun ownership, so. Yeah, so, you know, the people that are going to be using firearms to protect themselves and their family, as well as actually even just their property, if they do use it, they're going to be affected in so many different ways afterwards as well. You know, you got court probably that you're going to be, and then you have knowing that you've either ended somebody's life or you've caused them serious harm, and then you're probably going to be arrested as well. It's going to impact you incredibly, either financially, your ability to get a job. I know that Jason talked about this recently. He might even talked about it on our podcast as well. And then you also have people that you're probably going to end up with some sort of PTSD based on it as well. So there's a lot of things you have to take in consideration if you're actually thinking about protecting not only yourself and your family, but also your property, right?
Yeah, it's a good, it's certainly a good point.
Like, I know, you know, I'm playing devil's advocate on a lot of this. I know if I was in that position, I would more likely than not hold up and call the cops and all that, unless again my family was at risk.
I think nobody wants to be in that position.
No.
Again, you know, since we don't know all of the details in that particular situation, did he step out? Did he call the guy? Did the guy tell him to screw off? Did he? You know,
yeah.
What led?
We don't know
exactly. There is, without the details of the situation, I can't really say how I would act otherwise. But I would at least step out, stick my head out the door, and confront him and go, "Hey, you know, I've called the cops. Get the hell out of my truck." And that could very well be enough to dissuade the guy and make him run away. You know?
And I can understand the homeowner's response. If I just bought myself a beautiful, you know, $50,000-$60,000 pickup truck, and some lowlife's out there stealing it. I'm making payments on this thing. I would want to protect my property.
I'd be pissed.
Yeah, I'd be pretty pissed.
Sorry,
and again, that's where the responsibility of the firearms owner comes in. It's really, it's incumbent on the individuals to have a lot more self-control than you otherwise would. Because it's so easy to fly off the cuff and just, it's so easy to just go into the safe, get the gun, let's go out and just get them. And you have to really avoid it because that's what gets you into the trouble.
Yep, that's exactly right. And sometimes, like, when I have these conversations with these people, the thinking is not... Mario, you know, our thinking is very linear, right?
Exactly.
It's not that type of thinking. And sometimes, you know, when they think that, you know what, I can just go in and just take it because I wanted it.
Yeah. Yeah.
My feeling is, okay, let's play this game, all right? So, all right, let me go back to your house, and I'm going to go in, and I'm just going to take whatever you want. You can't tell me, you know, I can't take it or anything. I'm just going to go and take it.
Yeah.
And it's a different, if it's on, you know, perspective taking, if it's on a different foot.
Yeah.
It's absolutely, you know, you can't do that. Well, anyways, but I don't want to be in, I do know that Mr. Kill is in a place where I don't wish anybody to be.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
We flogged this one to death.
Thank you.
Yeah. Could flog it more, but no.
No. It's just dying. Come on, carry on, lead host.
Thomas is dying, is what is going on. Thomas, you got a message from Jay.
I did. Listener Jay sent me a message. He messaged me. This is kind of funny, actually. He says, "Now, I know you have some experience with the AR platforms." And insert laughter here. I just picked up my first one a couple of weeks ago. Yesterday, I attempted to remove the front sight to install a full-length handguard on the rifle, and I just can't for the life of me get those damn pins out. I've been hitting them from left to the right side, and I don't know if they're tapered. Any tips on getting these out? And then he also says, I love the podcast. We're looking forward to the cherry shoot and for RJ's course. He's covering basically just the fundamentals, correct? And yes, I did contact RJ. He just said the same thing that we said earlier. He's doing the fundamentals. And if the class progresses well, then he'll increase the course load. Yeah.
Yep.
I discovered that Jay was just using regular punches. I told him I needed to get some roll pin punches. So the next day, he just went over to Princess Auto, got the roll punches, and be able to get the pins out.
Yeah.
The problem is, like, he didn't know. Because if you've got a straight flat punch and you just put it on a roll pin and you hit it, it's just going to drift off and it's going to scratch your guns. You want something where you put that little nipple can stick right in the hole, then all the energy is transferred directly to the pin. So yeah. I think you just got a cheap Chinese set over at Princess Auto.
That's where I got mine.
It's funny the stuff they have there, because he's been looking for an AR block and some other tools. Nobody has anything around, but amazing what you can find at Princess Auto.
You know what? A drill press, a block of wood, and some Forstner bits, and you can make your own block. I mean, it's
really easy.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do anything to those pins, by the way. You don't want to put any lube or anything back on them when you're putting them back in. You want them nice and tight.
Well, if you want, yeah, exactly. If you want to get them out for the first time, like if it's been put in there from the factory, sure, a little bit of liquid wrench to help loosen them up and then knock them out. But then you want to take any lube you put in there off before you reinstall those pins.
Yeah, it's better to be too tight than too loose.
Yeah. It's always, I agree 100%, Kelly.
George, you're going to love it.
You see the grin on my face.
Thumbs up.
Anyways, so he's good to go. Right?
He's good to go.
All
he's
right,
looking forward
awesome.
To the charity shoot, so we should see you. Actually, he offered to, if he needed any help, offered to give us a hand if we needed any help. So, beautiful. Thank you. Appreciate that.
That's nice of him.
And,
his wife is coming, too? Or
I didn't ask him about that. He also said that he's got a big box of 223 brass that he's going to give me since I gave all my stuff away to George.
That's nice.
I know when I looked at his profile, I know him and his wife just had a child, I believe. But I forgot to ask if she shoots.
Were you stalking him?
You send me a request, I go, I look at everybody that sends me a conversation. I want to see who I'm talking to.
You're stalking him.
Yeah.
All right. Gosh.
I do. You send me friend requests, I stalk you. I make sure that we have mutual friends. I don't want to have an anti-person in my timeline, so...
Okay. Mario, would you want to read this next one? It's for me, but do you want to read it?
Yes. Where are we here? From Jason Trumbo. Yes. It was concerning the website, I believe, or came from the website.
Yep.
It goes, comment. He commented to you, Kelly. He goes, I have a suggestion. Lighten up on the whiskey and the cigarettes the night before the recording the podcast.
Well, that's Jason from the
Reloading podcast. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, cool. Thanks for
reading. Yeah. So,
I would agree with the cigarettes and disagree with the whiskey because...
I think the whiskey probably would have helped, wouldn't it?
A nice scotch is always good, and a little single malt goes a long way to soothe the throat. And in fact, I had a couple just before talking, so it was good.
Oh. I used to.
I'm going, okay. Is this about my throat, or is it the fact that I'm a train wreck most nights on podcasts?
No, it's about your heavy whiskey voice.
Oh, my throat has been quite husky. Husky? Is that a word?
Husky.
Kind of sexy.
No, it's sore. And then last week I sounded like a prepubescent teen boy. Cracking every once in a while. Anyways, all right. Well, thank you for the email there, Jason. I'm loving your guys' reloading podcast lately. They're almost at 100 episodes, eh?
Are they really?
Yeah.
I sent them an email recently about what are some of the things that they should have, or we should have around us when we're reloading. You know, because that lead that can catch some stuff on fire. I'm wondering about spilling it everywhere. So I'm quite clumsy. I know I'll probably end up spilling it on myself, burn myself.
Well, yeah, you guys both reload?
No.
I reload.
I said that really loud, didn't I?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Quite out.
But it's,
oh, no kidding. Okay.
It's something that I'd like to get started on. Yeah, like Kevin reloads.
Yeah, I'm reloading 7 or 8 calibers now, so it's I spend a lot of time in the garage. It's like, you know, you got to have something on the go all the time at that point.
Yeah.
You know? And I've gone from a single stage to a turret progressive, and now that I'm at a full, I just bought a big Dillon machine. And
oh really?
Oh yeah, it's awesome. And in fact, I just ordered Swage It from the States. It's a swaging thing that you put on the Dillons, and it should do a really interesting job now. We'll see how that works. Yeah, I'm really excited to get that going. Because reloading for the season now that I'm shooting IPSC and I'm shooting that and CQBs, I got to have a couple of thousand of everything in stock, and I have so much to load. It's crazy now, you know.
No, the thing is, you have way too many different calibers. Everything should be one caliber, you know.
Yes,
that, right?
I know that. I'm kind of working on thinning it out a little bit, but it's a tough decision.
Yeah. I have a mini reloading station in my garage. I have out there.
Can I ask a question, Mario?
Yes.
Sure.
Do you cast your own bullets?
No. I've looked into it. I put a lot of thought into it. Mm-hmm. I really would like to, just to say I do it, but and I found some really good lead suppliers here in Montreal, like straight from the lead manufacturers. So I found good quality. But the problem is time. It would just be completely ridiculous on time. So, you know, I still find some pretty good deals. Like, there's a lot of good Campro product out there right now. And Campro seems to coming up with some really for plinking, for the most part of what I plink. And even my competition shooting, I use their on my 9mm, I'm using 125 grain, and it shoots great. I have no problem with it.
Yeah, I've had no problem with those projectiles.
I really like them. I use my 308. The 308s for plinking and practice, I use the Campros. Then I go to the Sierra Match Kings when I shoot competition. But my 223 competition is all the Campro stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's great. I have no complaints. It's a great product. So,
if it's working for you, don't.
It works, don't. And cost-wise, it's not enough of a big difference for me to save to get into casting. Mm-hmm. Really can't. So I just, as much as I want to do it, I load too much. So waste time doing that.
In Canada, it's, I'd love to be able to just say I did it, but in Canada we also have such short winters that's the exact opposite. Our spring, summers,
yeah, long winters and short.
It. So you're having to do it in the garage, and it's freaking freezing.
You know, my other thought was to do it like on a bulk. So if I was going to do it in the fall and sort of prep a whole bunch in the fall, like do a weekend and just cast all weekend, and then get my volume that I need for the winter, and then I can load all winter. So it's still something I'm kind of studying and I might get into, but I like the plated bullets. That's where I'm kind of going with it. If I'd cast, I'd cast a little, but if I'm going to cast a little, I might as well cast a lot. And then I don't want, you know what I mean? It's like that never ending song.
And then you powder coat, and then anyways.
Well, they do the powder coating instead of the copper plating.
And then the plating.
Yeah, exactly. Which I actually, my neighbor threw out an old oven, which he broke the glass countertop. So I picked up the oven. So I actually have an oven to powder coat. So if I really wanted to, but it's there. But again, it's like time.
So you're basically painting the powder coating onto the projectile then, right?
So actually I heard I'm listening to the Reloading podcast. Mm-hmm. Jeremy, he actually paints the projectiles.
Really?
And when I talk about paint, he's using a aerosol paint.
It's the same thing, because you either you're applying it or you're coating it and baking the paint finish on.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and then if you're doing powder coat, that's what you're actually using electrons and all that, so. But yeah. Did you hear about somebody melting their bullets there recently?
melting,
powder coating them.
No, I put for too long. Oh yeah, yeah. Who was that? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, in the oven, anyways. You mean?
Yeah. Oh, he really? left them in the oven too long.
Oh my.
Yeah, I remember seeing that on Facebook.
Too high.
Gee, who was that, Kelly?
I don't know.
Oh.
Anyways. Okay. That being said, thanks. Thanks, Jason, for the. And Jason's one to talk. Do you ever hear his? He's got a very deep voice, very nice voice. It's a voice for radio. Just saying.
Yeah.
Radio.
Yeah. Radio.
Speaking of radio, did we get any iTunes reviews?
Thank you for,
Segway?
No, we didn't. Thanks for keeping us on track. No, I checked it today. We haven't gotten anything from the U.S. or Canada. I even checked Germany and Australia, because Germany and Australia are our highest subscribers outside of the continental U.S.
Very
Canada.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
Gates.
Gates is good, yeah.
Yeah. So I checked to see if we've gotten anything from them, and we haven't. So, anyways, it'd be nice at some point to get something from Australia, Germany, England.
Cool.
Yeah. So if you hear us, send us an iTunes review. We'd love to hear from you. And Canada and U.S. too. We'd still
anybody. We're desperate. We're not fussy.
Thomas is desperate and not fussy.
Facebook likes, we have 644. Keep like, sharing, and thank you for the support. And we're only 10 away from CR.
Don't say
just
it.
Saying, George. Just saying, 10 more away by the end of the week.
Thomas. And so let's get to our closing comments. I think we're going to wrap this up right soon. So join any of our advocacy groups, such as the CSSA, the CCFR, and the CFI, or even the OFAH, which would be a good one. Most of us belong to at least one of those organizations,
yep,
right?
Absolutely.
A couple of them.
Yeah.
CSSA, CCFR are two of my main two, and...
Me too, right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. And the CFI as well. I even still have my NFA membership still.
I never did hear back from the NFA.
I think you're a SOL.
Yeah, I think so too.
Talking about... Anyways, so if you have not already joined them, you can do it online. If not, then you can actually see them at some of the various events that are taking place. I know that they're going to be at our charity shoot, but I also know that they're going to be at the sportsman show on that as well, so you can sign up.
Yeah, the CSSA will be there, the CCFR will be there. I'm not sure about the CFI because they're a small group. Last year it was Speed that set up the NFA booth at the sportsman show, but there's no booth set up so far from the NFA. They're not participating.
I looked and I saw that they were.
Were they? Because as of last week, they weren't. So if they are, excellent.
If not, hey. Anyways, so let's talk about some of the other podcasts. Mario, why don't you let us know about all the different podcasts that people can...
Sure, Kelly.
Check out.
People can have a listen. There's all sorts of podcasts. There's the Reloading Podcast. You have Slamfire, Modern Rifle Radio, Armed Couples, Action Shooting Radio, Arms Squirrels Project, Geeks, Gadgets and Guns, Caliber Quebec Radio, The Firearms Cafe, and...
The Armed Eight. I didn't put it in.
Tony
has The Firearms Cafe and The Armed Eight, which are solo shows. So if you want to listen to a decent show, actually, The Firearms Cafe promotes us quite often. So have a listen to one of Tony's shows.
Excellent.
And Armed Ape, it's a little on the more restricted. Well, I'm talking about, you know, language.
Yeah.
Oh. My head, I rating.
Yeah. So, Yeah, and yeah, check us, check out our friend RJ Woods, Fire Arts Solutions Training, or FAST. He has his new website up and running, so at www.fireartsolution.ca. He did a really great job with it. He was trying to get it up by the end of January, and he was able to do it. He's still tweaking a little bit, he said, but I went and had a look at it, and it's a pretty good website. Did you get a chance to go and have a look, Mario?
Not yet, actually. I didn't check out the new site. I saw the other one, but not this one. How long has the new one been up?
Just got up not too long ago. So have a look.
Yeah,
It's actually pretty cool.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the session at the charity shoot. So
yeah,
I'm excited.
Really cool.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited for that for sure.
So let's do a couple of shout-outs. Anybody got any?
Well, I'm going to give one to Trevor. He tried to give a shout-out to the CFI last week, and he mispronounced it. I'll just say it that way. But he was trying to say hi to the CFI, the Canadian Firearms Institute. And, yes, they are a small group that is politically focused, as well as offering training, education, and a new Canadian Action Pistol League. So contact Piper for the CFI at the CFI for more details.
Okay. Cool. And
I forgot one. Miss Young Miss Tiana Uzi, you rock, young lady.
She did. Yeah. She actually got gold today.
Nice.
So yeah, in wrestling.
But
oh, excellent.
She did.
Literally.
Yep.
Congrats.
Mr. Uzi, her proud papa, he was posting updates every 15 minutes on Facebook about her progress and that too. So congratulations goes out to her because she's doing amazing. So
he did actually just send us something before we started recording the show, but we couldn't access it from the one email account that he was into. So your letter will be on next week's show, Tom.
And next week she's off to the Junior Olympics, I believe.
How old is she?
Not that old.
She's a tiny thing.
Wow.
She's kicking ass. Yeah. At least he doesn't have to worry about her.
I might have to actually put an edit point in there now. Thank you, Thomas.
And what is she competing in?
Wrestling.
Wrestling.
Oh, wrestling, that's right, yeah. Oh, my, good for her.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Good for her,
yeah.
So,
probably feel safe when this little girl goes out as she grows up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He won't need all of his guns to protect her. So for those of you who don't know, Mr. Uzi is one of our faithful listeners, but his daughter is also, as you can tell by the conversation we're having, had a very successful day today competing in wrestling. So, yeah. Mario, what about you? You got any shout-outs?
No. Just
awesome.
usual friends and family, as always, but... No, just had a good week of shooting, and I was happy that I passed the shout out to the club. Thank you for the event. It was good. I had a great second shoot. So
good for you. Really, congratulations.
Yeah,
on that.
I'm really excited. So that'll it's a completely different way of shooting.
You must have been pumped because a level 3 for your Proby shoot, that is tough.
It was, at first it was a little intimidating. I'll be honest, I didn't shoot the first half. The first 6 stages, I was really bad because it was like so much going on. Then I sort of settled down. I shot the second half much, much better. But, there's a lot. I mean, you got to shoot through a spinning barrel and it's nuts. It's cool. It's really challenging.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's good fun.
I'm really,
I was going to add one quick thing. I put a note there for you guys.
Sure.
Those pants I was talking about earlier. Are at Lee Valley, and they're called Herock or Herock, H-E-R-O-C-K, and they're from Belgium. They're work pants, but they're really, really cool. They could work really well as a tactical pant for this larger boys, but they come in a lot of bigger sizes. So it could be cool if you're looking for something, and you can insert knee pads and all sorts of stuff in there. So
cool.
They could really, really work well for CQBs and those sorts of things if you're getting into, or Appleseed or Mapleseed, whatever we're doing, if you've got to sort of stand up and kneel. And, it's good.
It's amazing the products you get from Lee Valley. I've been in there a couple times.
Oh, they're great.
I just pulled them up. They actually are kind of cool, aren't they?
Yeah. I'm a big Lee Valley fan. I've been for many years.
We just got one, like literally 4 months ago, 5 months ago.
Oh,
I haven't been in there yet.
Nice.
It's almost literally across the street from me.
It's heaven.
heaven. All right. I'm going to have to go now.
Okay.
All right. For me, I'm going to give a shout out to Mario for joining us tonight and being so awesome. You are welcome anytime.
Thank you. We really appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Carrying the sick guy.
I really appreciate you guys. Actually, there's my shout outs to you guys for having me.
Awesome.
Oh, thank you.
It's really, really fun. You guys always have a great show and I enjoy it.
And tonight we were a little bit more politically. We talked a little bit more politics than we normally do, but it was still fun in that. So I really appreciate it. And Rick, congratulations on doing your own IPSC stuff.
Absolutely.
Hey.
He's got his two matches to go, and I think we'll. And he shot really well too. He's gonna be really good. He's always been a great shooter. Rick's always a really good shooter. I learn a lot from the guy, and if I can be half as good as him, I'll be really happy. So.
Well, from what I've seen, you've actually you're a really good shot.
Well, you know what? So. I must admit that I'm happy with my advancement. You know, I've worked hard in the last year and a bit to where I've gotten now, and at least I hit what I'm aiming at, kind of, you know, and that's kind of where I want to be. And yeah, I'm not the fastest, but I'm happy, and you're having fun when you're out there. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's exactly it. Like we've talked about many times on here about, you know, you should be happy and you should be having fun. If you're not having fun and you're not happy.
And it's gotten me to meet all sorts of great people like you guys and Rick and everything else that I've met around. And it's such a cool crowd of people to be around. Everyone's got the same sort of attitude. Everyone's, you know, in the right place, and it's great.
Yeah, once they get into it, everybody tends to have the same attitude.
Anyone who listens, if you're not into shooting, do yourself a favor. Find someone that does shoot and go see what it's all about, particularly here in Canada. It's really fun, great group of people. Heads are in the right space, and it's a good sport.
Yeah, it is. You know, you just let three people know that this last weekend,
exactly.
Right?
Yep, 100%.
Yeah. We're good people.
I love taking new people shooting. I really do. That's my highlight.
So do I. Yeah, yeah. I try and do at least a couple of months.
Like that one lady I took a couple of weeks ago with Lisa Stacy's friend. Like the girl's natural ability just amazed me. Man, could she shoot? I hope she gets into it.
Follow up with her. Maybe she will.
Maybe I'll send her a Facebook friend request.
Mm. And then you can stalk her.
No.
Sorry. Yeah. Anyways, let's. Yeah, this train wreck is really off the rails. So let's talk. Let's end it.
Say goodnight, Dick.
Okay. Mario.
Thank you.
No, thank you. But do you have a sign off that you want to say, or do you want to say George's?
What is George's?
Thank you for taking the time and listening to our show. Our audience is important to us, and we encourage our listeners to contact the show with feedback, suggestions, or questions that you may have. You can contact the guys at the host at newshootercanada.ca. And please like our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and have a groovy day.
We suck at endings. We really do.
yeah, we do. You know, it's usually the last 10 minutes or 5 minutes that are Sorry.
And I can't breathe. This dog just looking at me, smiling and farting. Oh my God.
About the types of gun laws the liberals would introduce. Thank you, Thomas. Let's edit that out, shall we?
Oh, sorry.
Take two.
My microphone was on. Sorry.